Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site and fm1032.com.au.
Okay, well, a sign hangs on the wall of one of Mother Teresa's children's homes in Kolkata, and written on it is a poem called Anyway. You might have heard of it. It goes like this. People are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. The biggest men and women with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest men and women with the smallest minds. Think big anyway. People favour underdogs but follow only top dogs. Fight for a few underdogs anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People really need help but may attack you if you do help them. Help people anyway. Give the world the best you have and you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you have anyway. Now that piece has since appeared in books and in speeches. It's even found a place in a Superman movie. And while it's often been attributed to Mother Teresa, its actual author is Kent Keith, who wrote the paradoxical commandments, as he calls them, when he was just 19. And Kent joins us now. Welcome to Open House, Kent.
Thanks very much. Good to be with you.
You know, your story reminds me of that other poem, Footprints in the Sand, with a million different sightings and 1,000 different attributions.
Right. Well, you know, I wrote the Paradoxical Commandments actually in a booklet for student leaders in the United States back in 1968. And I was just trying to persuade them that basically, no matter what the world does to you, you can respond in a way that's meaningful. And you control your own response. So you can always do what's meaningful. And finding that meaning is a key to being deeply happy. So I was trying to sort of lay down a guideline to say, if you can live these paradoxical commandments, you're going to be okay the rest of your life because you'll always be able to find meaning.
Mm. What have been some of the most surprising sightings of these paradoxical commandments that you've heard about?
You know, it's just been all over the place. They were used by a student leadership conference in South Africa. They're in a leadership program at a university in Belgium. They were used by the Cambodian free speech movement. They were used by a Japanese Catholic priest in Tokyo. They've been used by many, many churches. They've been used at many commencement addresses. They've just traveled all over the world, and it's been exciting to see. I didn't know that was happening, actually. I didn't know for almost 30 years that they were traveling. And when I found out in 1997 that Mother Teresa had them up on her wall, boy, I took that as a message. that really got my attention, and that's when I started writing and speaking about them again after 30 years had passed.
Well, it's quite an endorsement, isn't it?
Yeah, it was just really startling, and it was really moving because I have tremendous respect for her and how she lived her faith. And also, my wife and I adopted our three children from Romania and Japan from children's homes. And so the idea that it was on the wall of a children's home was especially important to me.
Is that right? Wow. Now, you mentioned that you wrote these when you were 19, back in 1968. I mean, those are fairly lofty thoughts for a 19-year-old. What was going on in your life at that stage?
Well, you know, in high school, the question that really pressed me and I finally came to some understanding of was a Sunday school or a church a religious issue for me, which is how to understand Good Friday. It seemed to me that Good Friday was just really ugly and awful, and I wanted to just jump over and get right to the glory of Easter, because on that day the world did some really awful, awful, ugly things to Jesus. And finally, it occurred to me that the story was not just about what the world did to him. The story was also about how he responded to what the world did to him. And it occurred to me that in the face of all that pain and cruelty and hate, he managed to love people anyway and forgive people anyway and save people anyway. So that idea of being who you're born to be, living the life you're meant to live, living your faith, being who God calls you to be, no matter what the world does to you, that's where that idea really came through to me. And then in the 60s, we were having our student revolution and on many American college campuses and some high schools, and I was working with student leaders, and I really had to deal with that issue of why to lead and how to lead. And, you know, Sheridan, I was raised in a family that just lives this way, and I was just brought up among people who maybe they didn't know. I hadn't written the Paradoxical Commandments, but they knew that they were supposed to live in a way that was loving and helpful and positive and do their duty and be loyal and just you know, that's I was surrounded by people like that, so I was very fortunate, and that's what I learned from them, and I learned from my church, and paradoxical commandments were just a way of really reporting. I didn't feel like I was so much inventing as reporting what they had taught me.
Mm. Do you think you might have been able to have written these paradoxical commandments without your faith?
No, I think that it's just so tied in. I mean, the finally understanding or having a way of understanding what Good Friday was about and doing the right thing and living your faith anyway, that was really important. And my folks, you know, grew up in the church and their values, they tried to live every day. So, no, it's very faith-based. That's really where it comes from.
Mm. There's a real note of resilience in these paradoxical commandments. You know, no matter what, do good.
There's almost a note of defiance, isn't there? And, you know, I think that's, I tie that in my own faith. I cherish the passage in John 17, 14 and 15, where Jesus is with his disciples at the Last Supper, and he's praying for them, and he describes them as being in the world but not of the world. And I think that's been really crucial to me. We need to be in the world, loving people, helping people, fully engaged, doing the things that Jesus taught us to do. But we don't have to be of the world in the sense of ascribing to the world's secular values. We don't have to seek power, wealth, and fame, and all those things. So in a sense, it kind of defies everyday secular culture. But it leads toward the meaning, it leads toward the deep happiness that I think God wants for each of us.
Yeah. You've mentioned that word meaning a few times. Your website says your mission is to help people find personal meaning in a crazy world. You've actually researched this a fair bit. I mean, what have you uncovered about finding personal meaning in a world
like
this?
What I've learned from thousands of surveys, people of all different backgrounds and ages in the United States, is that people know that, you know, when they sit down and think about it, they know the meaning comes from their family, from giving and receiving love, from intimate relationships. The meaning comes from living their values and doing their personal best. And, you know, they always rate at the bottom in terms of importance and meaning. They always rate at the bottom power, wealth, fame, and winning. They're not against those things. They just know that not a whole lot of meaning comes from it. In fact, those things are only meaningful if they're just tools that you use to love and help others.
Mm, okay, that's interesting. So that's actually been born out of your research.
Well, it's something that I think, you know, is centuries and centuries old. I think it goes all the way back to the earliest times that people know that meaning comes from loving and helping others, being part of family, focusing on others, being part of something larger than yourself.
When you look at the Ten Commandments, on the one hand, you can see them as a bunch of rules. On the other hand, you can actually see them as an expression of the Creator's very heart. Do not steal. I mean, you're not going to have a very happy life if you steal, because your neighbor isn't going to be very happy. You're not going to be very happy. Don't commit adultery. You're going to rip apart the social fabric of what this world is supposed to be like. A lot of meaning can actually be found when we actually get back to those core principles, and particularly some of those core ones that are found in biblical truth, too.
I certainly agree, and that's one of the things in the research that I've done, both in terms of meaning in life and in terms of meaning at work. People give a very high rating to living their values. And you know, it's just true. Living the Ten Commandments, living the code, it does give people meaning. So it's just, you know, there are all kinds of reasons for behaving yourself and living that way. I mean, you make society happy or your family happy or you make the judicial system happy. Mm. But there's this added benefit. It makes you happy. It's part of the meaning and happiness of your own life.
Mm. Kent, some will know of the organization that you have recently become the CEO of, the Greenleaf Center for Servant Leadership.
Yes.
How does all of this fit in with your new role?
Well, it fits in quite well from my point of view. I think servant leaders understand and live the paradoxical commandments, because a servant leader, his mission of a servant leader is to identify and meet the needs of others. The idea is that you begin by wanting to serve, and as you emerge into a leadership position, you remember that you are there to serve. You're not there to accumulate power, wealth, and fame. You're there to help make life better for others. So keeping that servant heart is paradoxical in the sense that, again, you focus on doing what's meaningful and you don't worry about the power, wealth, and fame.
All right. Well, fascinating to talk to you, Keith, and I'm glad that you're getting the name at the bottom of the paradoxical commandments. It's appropriate that you have after all these years.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, good to talk to you. That's Kent Keith. He's the author of The Paradoxical Commandments. You can find them at paradoxicalcommandments.com for more. Why don't I read them to you again, hey? People are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Well, succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. The biggest men and women with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest men and women with the smallest minds. Think big anyway. People favor underdogs but follow only top dogs. Fight for a few underdogs anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People really need help but may attack you if you do help them. Help people anyway. Give the world the best you have and you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you have anyway.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.